So 1995, I written BEC, and I was at home, and I was not going anywhere. I just do my house chores, and I sit at home the whole time. But then I remember that a friend of mine gave me a cassette, so I put a cassette in the cassette tape. Hey, if you don't stop, I'll go to my house. Should I go to my house? Then stop what you are doing. So the man preached, the pastor preached. I think it was a cassette by Mike Murdoch. I don't know what he preached. I don't remember what he preached. What I remember is that when he finished preaching, he asked, if you want to give your life to Christ, pray with me this prayer. So I said a prayer after him, just like how you do it in church. Are you following my story? And I became born again. But because there was no pastor there, you know that when you finish, say, follow this pastor. Have you seen this pastor? The one who is waving at you. But me, I was in my room alone, and there was no pastor who was waving at me. So I was alone. So when I finished giving my life to Christ, I was now wondering what to do next. But I had a New Testament. This New Testament that they give to you, that you don't like it, the blue one that they give to you. How many of you have got some before for free? And when you throw it away, when they give it to you, throw it away. Yeah, that was all I had. I didn't have a full Bible. I had just that New Testament. Matthew to Revelation. Is my story interesting to you? I'm going somewhere. When I get there, you will see. And I began to read it. And I was amazed at how Jesus talked. His talking was amazing to me. When Jesus says something, I used to be like, how do you say things like this? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So I began to think to myself, as I was 1995, I was 14 years. 14 years old. I was 14 years old. And I was wondering to myself, so what it means is that if in my life I want to mercy, I want somebody, because how many of you think that sometimes you do something bad, you did it, they should have lashed you. That you, like, they shouldn't lash you. How many it has happened to you before? The thing, yeah, you did it. The evidence is clear. It's like you did it. There's no, you don't have to argue about. But even though you did it, you wish that they shouldn't beat you. I mean, it's like, it would be good if they didn't beat you. And sometimes, when you do the thing, you are at home quiet. That is the day when you do everything well. And then you are at home quietly. You are waiting for the person who will beat you to come and beat. So even when you sleep, so sometimes the person who comes to beat you hasn't come yet. And you have waited, but it's not coming. So, and you are trying to sleep, but you are afraid that if you go and sleep, they will wake you up and beat you. So the whole night, Charlie, the sleep has all become, I mean, that's happened to you before. And sometimes you sleep, then in the morning, no beating happened. And you two, you try not to do anything that can bring a remembrance of the issue. So that morning, you do everything fine, take your school back, Charlie. You don't do quiet time for the past 3 weeks, no quiet, but that morning, dear, Charlie, because what you are looking for is mercy. So when I read it, I said, so if I want to have mercy for the things I have done wrong, I must be merciful to other people. So I began to make every verse I read. This is not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching zealously affected. You, I'm coming there. I'm passing somewhere, but I will arrive. Step by step, every verse was a project, was a daily project for me, until I entered secondary school. And I went to the best school in Ghana. Let's not argue about it. You know, if you start to argue about this type of things in the church, let's not argue. I went to the best SHS in Ghana. It is still the best SHS. All the people who are trying to argue, you can take, I'm holding the microphone right now. We can't even hear your voice. So just keep quiet where you are sitting. Yeah. Yeah, with the best, right? Yeah, it's not, there's no argument. No, When I went there, I met teenagers like me who were zealously affected. I mean, you see, I was shocked at how small 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, the way that God was to them. I'm not preaching well. I'm telling you that you people, this is the look, 2024, if there is any topic we must discuss and discuss, it's paining me that I'm coming on the last day. I should have started coming from Friday. If there is any topic we must discuss, and we must discuss into detail, we must discuss, me and you discuss, you and her discuss, you and her and him discuss, it is the subject of being zeal. There is no, listen, I'm telling you something, there is no, I don't know any other way to follow God or to serve God, and even especially as a young person, and it's not zealously. I'm going to show you four examples of zeal.
Come on.
You will see that you are calling yourself a Christian. You have not started yet. One day we were having fasting and prayer. We used to have it on Fridays. Friday fasting and prayer. And then sometimes we pray in assembly hall during lunchtime. So when everybody goes for lunch, then we go to assembly hall to go and pray. But sometimes we go to the school farm. And normally when they go to the school farm, I don't go. But one day I said, what are they going to do in the school farm? I want to go and see what's going on. So I went there. When I went to the school farm, I saw SHS people with one person who was leading the prayer. Slim guy. He has removed his shirt and he has hung the shirt on a tree. So he was in his singlet. And then we gathered around him. And today, we're going to pray for the Spirit of God to come upon us. Shall we pray? When he said, and I've not gone there before, so I didn't know how they said. So when he said, shall we pray? Then I saw that everybody began to find a tree, a nearby tree. And then he himself, the one with the singlet, went to also find a nearby tree. It affected me. Because until then, I had not seen the church I went to. There was a way we used to pray, not like this. That's where I learned how to put one hand. Everybody, one hand here. Yes, you see, and there's a way sometimes you see, it has to be, it is a way. If you like. Pray normal the way you pray. And then pray like this. And see the difference. Is there not a difference? You have not tried it before. You next time you come for prayer meeting, you remember me, what I was telling you. You have been praying like this. No problem. But I'm showing you another way. And it's like this. See, even the prayer begins to taste different to you yourself. And there is no doubt that if you enter into a room and people are praying, and some are praying like this, even some just stand by their chair, they will just be doing. If you see three people are praying, one is going like this. One is doing this. But one is standing by a wall. Even there's a way that you breathe in and breathe out. When I ask you, of the three people, which of them has zeal for God? Who will you point at? The third one. Put your hands together for 3 points. You don't like what I'm preaching. I'll go back to where I came from. And see, sometimes the reason why you are quiet is because you have already been affected by a young person. No. We should come to a prayer meeting of J Church. As for Y Church, I don't want to talk your matter. Why church people? Remember that 14 years, 15 years is why church, right? Those are the guys I met in the place. The person who prayed for me to speak in tongues was a why church guy in secondary school. He said, if you don't speak, no, you are here. You want Holy Ghost baptism, come to the front. And we came to the front. I was in SHS 1. And we all came to the front. And a fellow white church, what I'm preaching, you understand what I'm preaching, eh? White church people, how many white church people have laid hands on somebody to receive baptism of the Holy? You see, I'm showing you that this topic, we should have the conference from Monday to Saturday and discuss it into details, so that two things will happen. The first one is that you will see how far you are from the real image. And number two, you will now know what you must begin to do to move yourself up. You cannot walk with God if there is no zeal in you. You cannot. That's why Paul is telling the Galatians that there is a way to behave. There is, if you are a Christian, there is a, you, number one, you must have zeal. And number two, your zeal, it must be there always. Do you understand? Always. Always. Am I preaching well? So that I can go to my house. Yeah. Oh yeah, then now what? Everything. They must say you do it too much. Yeah. You look at me, I went to Accra on Thursday for a funeral of one of my church members in Bantama some years ago. Small boy who has died on Friday. Friday morning, I was at the funeral. Finished the funeral. 11 o'clock. I was on a flight to Tamale. Friday evening, I was preaching Strong Christian Conference in Tamale. Saturday morning, all the way to evening, I was preaching Strong Christian Conference. Sunday morning, I have woken up, sat on a bus, arrived here in Kumasi, and I have come to here, Asokwa here, to preach zealously. That's how it must be. Somebody must look and say, you must be crazy. Are you crazy? Yeah, I went to a good school. The best in the country. There's no discussion. And I'm preaching very, very, very nicely. No, at all, not at all. At all. Safe Church TMC. From 2024 onwards, this type of accounts have a saying, Mutru Mujo, eh? It's your term. I don't know what it means. Nyachung, nyachung, nyachung. Even the way when you hear the word is nyachung. So, this type of nyachung, type of Christianity where you are doing something. As a woe, yeah. As a woe, yeah. As a woe, yeah. As a yechumu yesu deimu. Paul says, so long as the purpose is good, be zealous. So long as the purpose is good, whatever it is, if it is prayer you are praying, it's a good purpose, be zealous. If it is singing you are singing, it's a good purpose, be zealous. If it is instrument you are playing, you cannot be a pianist who chooses which rehearsals to attend. You are not zealous. There is something, sir, there is a defect. There is a defect. Your zeal is defective. Must take it back to the factory and fix it. Whatever, I am a pastor. I am a children's pastor. I have been a children's pastor since 2004. 20 years this year. Yes. That's all that I have done. That's all I've done. And you see, my policy is that obeya ye onyen so no jai. Oh yeah, dear. Now we are zealously. What nonsense is making sense to you? Or not making sense to you? You don't know what I'm preaching. That's what I came to tell you. And you see, let me tell something. Because of that, because Satan is a weak, you know. I'm telling you, you don't know. It's a weak. Satan is all that Satan has left are tricks. If you were a little more zealous than you are now, we would have been winning the battle by now. You are the reason why we are not making progress. Yeah. If it were just a little, if I can get a girl whose zeal is evident, let me preach the thing I came to preach and go. Because this is like, this one, you don't like it, what I'm saying. It's not making sense. Yeah, no, I don't mean your face is quiet. I'm not seeing it. Nobody's agreeing with me that what I'm saying is like, what? The Bible says that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. When I was in SU in secondary school, we used to have every SU meeting when we are closing, we had two verses that we used to always say. As a closing, it's like how we share the grace. We share the grace, then we say these two verses. One of them was Matthew 5:16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before. If the path of the just is a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day, then as you walk about the place, people will see your shining light. Someone doesn't like me. People will see your shining light and then they will follow. It is. Does it work? Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, you. Hallelujah. It is. Hello?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hey, you don't like me in the, here, or I'm saying something bad. Ah, is it Jason who is like trying to reduce my volume so that what I'm preaching is working against him? So it's like he doesn't want me to. Jason is the one who is doing it. Oh. Wait, which one is Zadok? This one, the one holding the camera on. If it is you I'm talking about, just look straight and smile. Nobody will know that you are the one. Don't reduce my volume. You cannot be a Christian who comes to you go to secondary. When you go to secondary school, how do you come and sing, chasing after all that you are? Is that not the song you're saying? We are running. Chasing after all that you are, we are running. Cause all that you are, all that.
Hey,
when you finish singing it, oh come on! When you finish singing it, JHS 1, JHS 2, JHS 3. When you finish singing it like this, and then you enter secondary school. Then you go and see some stupid idiots in secondary school and you decide that they are the ones you rather want to follow and be like. Yeah, one of the things that confuses me is that the one who is doing the good thing is not trying to get people to follow him or her, but she rather is leaving her good to go and follow the ones who are stupid. Do you know any boy you see in secondary school who will divide their buttocks into two like this? Divide their buttocks. If you are here, I'm not mentioning your name. Just pull it up. Any boy you see that he has divided his buttocks into two like this, and then he will open his belt and loosen his trousers so that the shoulder will fall to the middle of the division. Do you understand the division here? And then boxer shorts is called underwear. And unless you didn't go to a good school, if you went to a good school, it is called underwear. Underwear. And it's not, we are not supposed to see it. That's why they call it underwear. The fact that you are showing yours, either you are illiterate, uneducated, or you are a stupid boy. And then, nice Christian boy. We have taught you how to knock tie. Even we do Christmas ball and you wear bow tie. We have taught you all these nice things. Wear white shirt, wear bow tie. We have done all these things in the church. Taught you how to dress nicely in the church. And then when you go to secondary school, you go and find these idiots. And then you now start to drop. Come on. Come on. That's why Paul made sure to add the word always. Always. It's not JHS 1, you are zealous. JHS 2, you are zealous. JHS 3, you are zealous. SHS 1, you are stupid. You must be zealous always. After you die. After you die. I came to tell you. This one is dessert. We are eating dessert, isn't it? Write this one down before you come and say that when you came to the conference, you didn't write anything, any notes. What does zeal do to you? Zeal is supposed to do two things to you. Number one, zeal is supposed to consume you. Mm-hmm. If you have zeal, it must consume you. Psalm 119. Look at the scripture. Psalm 119, verse 139 to 140. Look at this very carefully. Oh, you have to do fast so that we can close on time. I can read it myself if you like it that way. Jason, he's my friend too. I'm even surprised how he's behaving today. Psalm 119 verse 139. If you have a Bible, that's why we are Christians. You have Bibles, right? Open your own Bible to Psalm 119 verse 139. The Bible says, in the King James, the Bible says, my zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. I'm coming to explain it. You will understand it. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now switch to NIV and see something. In NIV it says, my zeal wears me out. In other words, the word that King James uses as says consume. Another meaning of that word consume is that my zeal, it wears me out. And I'm going to explain to you why is zeal is a positive thing. Why is it doing to you a negative thing? My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Verse 140, your promises have been thoroughly tested. Charlie, look, your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Let me explain to you something. The reason why the guy's zeal, and the word consume there in the Hebrew, one of the meaning of it is that the zeal I have, it makes me angry at how other people don't value your word. In other words, if you're a Christian who is zealous, when you meet people who don't respect God's word and don't regard it, it stirs up in you anger. Now, I don't know. I'm not preaching something good in the church. Yeah, you see, and if that is how you react to another person, you see, one of my friends, I had a friend when I was in Tamale. And we were in Tamale together. But his beloved he was going to get married to was in Kumasi. And so he used to come to Kumasi to come for marriage counseling. And then he'll go there every week. Then he'll come. So finally, they got married. And the marriage counseling that they were doing it in his wife's church. That's what they used to do, the marriage counseling. So they got married. Then one day, something. And his wife was doing something. So my friend told his wife, but this thing that you are doing, something. The counselor in the church told us that this something you are doing, we shouldn't do it. Then my friend's wife said, then my friend was like, what's the use of going for counseling, getting the counseling? Then when it is time to apply the counseling, you say, and some of you, that's how you behave towards God's word. That and so you see what happens is that because you yourself do not, anybody who doesn't have quiet time does not, you say your promises are thoroughly tested, and I love them. Verse 139 says, my enemies, look at, read it. He said, my zeal wears me out. Why? Because my enemies ignore your words. And so if you are the Christian, you don't wake up in the morning to have quiet time. Or even when you have the quiet time, when I became a Christian, I told you, every verse was a project for the day. It was problem of the day. If I read a verse today, it will be problem of the day for me. My aim was that if what the Bible is saying is true, then I must force and put what I am reading into practice, or else it will not be. If you say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How do you get mercy? By being merciful. If you don't practice being merciful, how do you get mercy? That don't happen. So you've read a beautiful scripture, it touched your heart, it blessed you, but it does nothing to you. You are a person who is ignoring the words of God. But here, we are discussing a Christian who himself can't, because of this scripture, it will be impossible for you to walk in the company of the ungodly. Because you will always be worn out. Your zeal in that, I'm not preaching well, eh? The place is too quiet. I'm not sure. Your zeal for the Bible scriptures, how the scripture is so important to you, how it is number one in your life, how you don't do anything at all against the scripture. That zeal you have, when you enter into the company of people who ignore God's words, it wears you out. And even if it wears you out, what will happen? You will come out of that company quickly. Okay, you don't know what I'm preaching. Are you recording it? I'll go and listen to it myself. Because you're not my naming. Two things zeal will do to you. Number one, if you have zeal, it wears you out in the company of people who are unbelievers or don't respect God's word. You will not be comfortable in that company. That's why I don't expect you to go to secondary school and throw away your Christian values and pick up rubbish. I'm not preaching well. Or they didn't come today. I don't expect you. You used to be prayerful, coming for all night, all the time. Suddenly you go to secondary school. It is when people go to secondary school nowadays, I say, they don't want to be a part of any Christian group. You don't even want to be identified with the whole Christianity thing. You are a foolish, foolish girl. I've not called your name, but you are a foolish girl. Yeah. Because otherwise, you would have experienced verse 140, which says that your word, I have thoroughly tested your promises. And because I have tested every promise, and every promise has come true in my life, I have fallen in love with your word. It would have been your testimony. It would have been your testimony. If the zeal was there and was always there and was always there and was always there, verse 140 will happen to you. I'm not preaching. Number two, I told you I came to eat dessert. Number two, the second thing that zeal will do to you, if you have it, is that it will eat you up. Yeah, it's not the same thing. Consume is one. It wears you out. It makes you angry. Makes you angry. Angry. Angry at people who don't... The Bible says this, so forget about Bible. Or sometimes they don't say forget about Bible, but they do the thing against the word of God anyway. If you are a disobedient child, children obey your parents in the Lord. If you're not obeying your parents in the Lord, you are behaving like somebody who is ignoring the word. It's like it's not important. You haven't said it with your mouth, but that's exactly what you are doing. Yeah. Psalm 69, verse 9. I've almost finished preaching. How many people are here still in the church? You are in the church still. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee. You see, even the same, you have the same reaction. This is here also. have fallen upon me. NIV, show me NIV. Those of you want to go home because you are tired, we are closing very soon. For zeal for your house consumes me. NIV uses the word consume, but it eats me up. And the insult of those who insult, those who insult God, I have taken it as my own insult. Like anybody who insults God has insulted me, I will face the person. But is it what makes a person react that way is because of something inside him that is called zeal. Am I alone in the church? Let me define for you. Write it down. That's number two. Let me define for you what it means to be eaten up. It means that, write it, it means all other desires are absorbed by the one desire to promote God's glory. Do you understand it? That the zeal has eaten you up means that all other desires... Are you typing it for the people, those who cannot, to copy it? All other desires, okay, are absorbed by the one desire to promote God's glory. In other words, as a young person, you live your life. Everything that is God, God connected, God related, God associated, that is what you spend your life promoting. Yeah. Yes. That's the meaning of the zeal of God. The zeal. Let me continue. Very smart. They're preaching. It's like they're not hearing me. Now let me continue. So now I've shown you two ways zeal affects you. Number one, it will wear you out. Number two, it will eat you up. It wears you out in the sense that when you meet evildoers, you are annoyed by their behavior. You evildoers, their behavior annoys you. And you can't tolerate them. Cannot tolerate them. That's the fact. The sign that you have zeal in you is how you are behaving towards evildoers. And number two, you every desire, everything you want in this world, you bundle all and put them inside your desire to promote what God wants only. That's how we know that there is zeal inside of you. That means that if the choir is small and the song is not working, you will kill yourself to make sure the choir works. That's why if you're a choir member and we are having choir rehearsal and you're at home, you're not zealous. And I'm not saying anything well. You're not zealous. Do you know what the olives who came here yesterday, do you know what they go through every year? Those small children that you saw on the stage yesterday, do you know what they go through every year? These true vine olives, they rehearse every month, 3 days a month, every month for 10 months every year for one concert. Well, if we have one concert in August, they start rehearsing from January, 3 days, February, 3 days. They'll come Friday night, they'll rehearse Sunday, and then they'll come to church. Then February, they'll do that 10 months. We'll go then before one concert. When we are traveling, it's worse because we don't want them to forget the song, forget their past, forget. So the rehearsal is, when we are traveling, if we are traveling on Thursday, they come to rehearsal on Monday. And they will rehearse, then Thursday they will bath and sit in the bus and we travel. You don't come for rehearsal. And then when you can't, they don't put you on the stage, or they put you on the stage, they put you at the back. You are annoyed. You are annoyed. We have done 5 rehearsals. That song that we are about to sing, we have had 5 rehearsals. You attended only one. You don't come the last one because you realize that we are almost near to the program. You came to the last rehearsal, and then when we did a selection, we didn't put you inside on the stage, or even the stage, because we put you on the stage, but at the back you are annoyed. Who should come for the 5 rehearsals and make the song work so that you will come and sit in front and people can see you and they'll take pictures of you so you can put it on your status or wherever. Now, 2 areas, zeal, write it. I'm telling you what you must write. Yes. The two areas in which your zeal must show. The two areas your zeal must show. Number one, your zeal for the word of God. We must see your zeal. We must see how you love the Bible. There must be a certain zealousness connected to the word of God. A love, a zeal, a love. I don't know how to describe it so that it makes sense to you. But like when you hear preaching, my wife, sometimes she's listening to Auntie Mami, because Auntie Mami, she preaches usually, like all women, you get it. And I realize that the one thing that I cannot stand is to hear preaching. So sometimes she's listening to her thing and I'm in the room doing my own thing. But so long as it is preaching, no. Sometimes I'll just be in the room there, and she will read some verse and say something, and I hear something. I say, poof. And then I'm wondering to myself, the one who is listening to the message, no. Did she hear what I heard? Preaching is attractive to you. If you two areas, your zeal must show. Are you in the K-Church? Are you here? Two areas connected, number one, to the word of God. Zeal for God's word. Zeal for God's word. Bible study, quiet time, preaching. Once it is God's word is involved, you will see me there. I'm interested. Count me in. I'll be there. I'm shouting. Am I overreacting? So our name is 139. What does he say? He says that the zeal, it wears me out. Why? Because of how people are treating the word of God. Because of how people are treating the word of God. Because in verse 140, he says, as for me, I love it. I love it. Because I love the word of God. Your servant loves them. So when I see people who don't read their Bibles or who read it but do not do what it says, when I see them, they are just looking at them, it makes me tired for them. Zeal, young person, in this conference, after this conference, we must see your attitude. Do you know how many Bibles I have? Can't get enough. Paper Bibles, they are in my house. I have them. I have a Bible. When you open it like this, it's four translations in one. Four. Like, they divide this page into two. King James is here. NASB is here, NIV is here, something else is here. Four. I went to the bookshop, I saw it, beautiful, beautiful. And I bought it. Because me, I like it. Do you like it? But Reverend Bismarck, am I preaching well? So that I don't cause any problems in the church. I'm preaching well. I should continue the way I'm preaching. It's good. The way they are quiet, I don't understand what it means. I have a friend, one of the boys in Tamale. He sent me a birthday message one day. It's a birthday message. I have kept it for about 5 years because it's touched me. People send birthday messages. Happy birthday, Reverend Bismarck. May God bless you. It's not a good birthday message. If you have been sending such messages, stop. It's not a good birthday message. A good birthday message will say, happy birthday, Reverend Bismarck. Thank you for teaching me this, showing me this, helping me to do this. That you say exactly what it is that you makes you appreciate the person. Don't say, happy birthday, Reverend Bismarck. God bless you and make you very, very rich. It's not a good birthday message. Yeah. And this is my boy. He sent me a birthday message. He said, the one thing that I like about you is that you talk about quiet time. You make quiet time look so nice and so, like, it makes, every time I hear you talk about quiet time, I want to go and have my quiet time because I want to see what you see. I want to see what you see. And he is the second person who told me that. You see, you too, you must have a friend around you somewhere who will say something like, you talk about the Bible a lot and it makes me want to read it. I'm not saying the thing well, or am I saying it well? Bibles is only on their phones. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I have Bibles. I have Bibles here. Plenty Bibles here. Plenty. Recently I was there, I said, look, when I memorize a verse, then I forget. When I memorize a verse, then I forget. I said, how can I solve this problem? Then I said that maybe it's because I'm memorizing the verse from the tablets. No, it's not helping me. So I ordered a Bible from America. Do you know America? Because I went to town. I went to town. I went to work to Charlene's bookshop. I went to I couldn't find any Bibles, any nice Bibles in the Charlene bookshop. Now, if you go there right now, there's nothing there. So when I came out, I said, no, I'll find Bible online. So I looked through Amazon and I saw a beautiful, blue, beautiful leather-bound Bible. And I bought it with dollars. And I said, now I will memorize the verses by taking a highlighter and highlighting. When I'm seeing the letters with my eyes, I remember those ones better than when I'm looking at it on the screen. That is somebody who has tested thoroughly the promises and laughs. Yeah, he's walking around here and say, what is your Bible? Say, my Bible. Say, you're not serious. That's why it is easy for you to go and join those idiots in secondary school. That's why. You join idiots in secondary school. You're not serious. Number two, so that we can close. Number two. The second area your zeal must show, we can all see, is your zeal towards the house of God. Psalm 69 verse 9. Zeal towards God's house. Zeal towards the church of God. We must see you killing yourself to make the church of God, the house of God, progress, grow, become glorious, become big, become nice. You must be contributing. We must see you zealously contributing to make the safe church in Asokwa the best, the glory, the most glorious. What I'm saying is this, am I saying it well? Yes. He said, for zeal for your house, zeal for your house, it eats me up. It makes me stay awake at night. Because it is all I think about. How would the choir work? The choir is not whatever. Our costume is not very nice. I'm the choir director. What can I do? How can I improve the costume? I'm looking online, see designs of costumes, so that when I come to church, I can tell Reverend Bismarck that I want us to change our costume. The zeal of the house of the Lord is eating you up. I'm not preaching again well. Yeah, we must see young people in the church. And if we say operation safe church operation 1,000 members, and we declare that in the month of August we are coming here to have outreach continuously to get 1,000 members, I must see you here on Saturday, every Saturday, in your jeans and your t-shirt and sneakers, and on the move, holding your tracks and everything, trying to make it work. I'm shouting, all. I'm going over. Don't sit at the back of the church and be complaining about how the sound is not good. Do something about it. Let the zeal make you step forward and do something about it. Let it show. Let's get up and do something about it. You see, I came here with my guys. I came here with people from Bantama. Uncle George is here. Give us a wave. Martin is, where is Martin? Uncle Martin is at the back there. Ogidi is here, okay? And Blessing is here. We all went to Tamale together. And then we came from Tamale this afternoon. And we have come here. And you know why we have come here? Because yesterday I was looking at the conference and there was no live streaming. So I said, how come the first of its kind, the first of its kind, and I hear yesterday today the party was partying. Bah. So I said, there was no live streaming. Why is there no live streaming? So when I was coming this morning, because the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me, I told the boys, when we get down from the bus, Asokwa, bring all our equipment, we will stream. We will stream. We are streaming as we are preaching, as we are here right now. We are streaming. Don't sit at the back there. All you know is to complain. Step up. Get involved. Do something. Let the church work. Let us say that your zeal is... Am I saying something good? The church is working. because of you, it's working. The zeal that you have for the house of, I think it's, the thing is, something is doing me wrong. Yeah, work. Make it work. Get involved. Yeah. Save money. Say, so the microphone is not good. They are making whatever. All the money that you are giving, you are using to buy nonsense things. No. You say, look, I go to church. The microphone is always not working. It's always cutting. I am in J Church. I get money small. How much is microphone? So microphone is maybe 1,002. It's no problem. Maybe it's taking me 1 year to save it. But as a J Church member, I am saying, my mother asked me, I'll say, I am saving my money small, so that I can buy a new microphone for J Church. The zeal of the Lord's house is eating me up. Yeah. Don't start sitting down and just complain. The boy we went to go and bury in Accra, we were sad. And we went. I went with the guys who were in the same church together. From the time that our J Church was built, J Church Hall was built in the story building up in Bantamande, he, a small boy in JHS, he volunteered that he will come to the church every morning. He will sweep it, he will mop it, and arrange the chairs. And he did it all the time. No instruction, nothing. When we come to church in the morning, the place has been swept, it has been clean, it has been mopped, the chairs have arranged. That's it. That is somebody who, without talking a lot, zeal is showing. Your zeal must show when it comes to the Lord's house. I think I've said it enough. It's enough. So now let's continue. Examples of zeal. What does zeal look like? Then we can close. Oh, okay. Look, I don't have time. So instead of doing two, I'll do one. What do you think? I do 1-1. 2-2 will make us stay here for a long time. 1-1. Parents are waiting for their children to go home. 1-1. So I'm going to show you an example of somebody who... No, I want to... This one I want to show you too. An example of somebody who has zeal for the word of... It's like, what God has said, how do I react to it? 2 Kings, chapter 9. Follow me, you have to be fast. We are going to read a lot of scripture. So you have to be like fast. What does zeal look like? Okay. The first person we are looking at, his name is Jehu. Write his name down. Jehu is an example of a person that had zeal for the word. Like, this is what God has said. This is what I am going to do. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, if you give us NIV, this get up, we don't understand it. The prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophet and said to him, tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of oil with you, and go to Ramoth Gilead. Next. When you get there, look for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him. Get him away from his companions. Take him into an inner room. Next verse. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and declare, this is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and run. Don't delay. Now this, God sent somebody with a message to go and anoint Jehu as king. So this is what is going on. So the young man went. Next verse. When he arrived, he found the army officers. I have a message for you, commander. For which of us? Next verse. Jehu got up and went into the house. Then the prophet poured the oil upon Jehu's head and declared, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. Next verse. You, listen to the word of the Lord. You are to destroy the house of Ahab, your master. And I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab will perish. I will cast off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make the... Okay, is that it? As for Jezebel, dogs will devour her on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and no one will bury her. This is the message the prophet brought to In other words, when you open your Bible in the morning and you have quiet time, you will see God telling you something. A prophet came to Jehu and gave him a message. 3 verses of message. And the guy opened the door and he ran out. Now, see action. When Jehu went out to their friend, they asked him, is everything all right? So, yeah, everything. So, no, no, no. You're lying to us. Tell us what the man came to say. Next verse. He said, oh, the man came and said that. God says, I have anointed you king over Israel. Next verse. Then he hurried and took his clothes and spread them under him. When the guys heard that God had anointed Jehu king, they put their dresses on the floor for him to step on, because now he was not the new king. Next verse. So Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram and all Israel had been defending Ramoth Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. Go on. Let me give you the background. Ahab was a bad king, influenced by his wife Jezebel. When Ahab was not there, his 2 sons became the kings after him. So God has sent Jehu. He said that I'm going to wipe out all the generations of Ahab. So that means that Jehu's job was to go and find the sons of Ahab, every son that he has given birth to, and kill all of them. That's what he's going to do right now. That's action. Yes, King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover. One of the kings was called Joram. He had gone to a war and he had gotten hurt and he was going to go and rest somewhere. Continue. Next verse. We don't have time. So then he got into his chariot. He went to Jezreel. Next verse. So the king has gone to the city and he's resting inside the city. But Jehu is after him. So the cities normally have very tall walls, right? And they put somebody on the top of the wall so that if an enemy is coming from far away, this guy will see and announce it so that people will get ready. So the lookout on the tower in Jezreel saw Jehu's troops approaching. And he shouted, I see some troops coming. Get a horseman, Joram ordered. That's the king. Send him to meet Jehu over there, because they knew that he was a man full of zeal. He was a madman. And ask him, are you coming in peace? So they went to the next verse. The husband went and said, do you come in peace? He said, what do you have to do with peace? He said, come on, join my chariot. I'm not reading it over here. He said, fall in behind me. So the man who was sent to come and ask, are you coming in peace or not? No. He said, hey, no. Follow. So the guy joined Jehu's troops now. So the guy on the mountain, on the tower said, hey, the guy you sent, no, he's not coming, no. Oh, next. The guy is not coming. He has reached them. He has reached Jehu, but he's not coming back. He said, the riding of the chariot, the driving, it's like, at first he couldn't see him well, but it's like, the person coming, it looks like Jehu, son of Nimshi. You see, they must look and say, the girl, the voice of the girl praying in the room there, it sounds like the voice of Davina. It sounds like. If you hear Davina, no. It's only Davina who prays like that. Yeah, if you. That prayer, it cannot be anybody else by her. Can I say that about you? Well, the way I look at my face, like what I'm saying. He drives like a madman. Zealous people, they look like madmen. I'm preaching something important, but I'm not sure whether it's. You are zealous. Do you look like a madman? Is there anything around you that looks like you are mad? Otherwise, you are not yet zealously affected. Look, I was in secondary school when we were in Form 3, in our room, in our dorm. They were doing reshuffling. And then they said that when they reshuffle, they bring juniors from other rooms to come and mix in the room. But the seniors in my room, the Form 3s, were not many. They didn't touch us. So we were like 4 seniors. And we were all left in the room. And then they took some of the Form 1s out, brought another Form, 2 Form 2s out there. And there was a guy that the house captain was bringing into our room. When they mentioned his name, my roommates, the Form 3 guys, said they will not allow that boy to come to the room. I said, why? I don't even know the guy. So no, that guy is a weird guy. It's another way of saying he's a madman. He's a weird guy.
So what about him? It's weird. So in the middle of the night, he wakes up. He'll wake up and then he'll be chanting or something. There was something strange. He wakes up at midnight and then you'll see him walking about and then he'll be chanting. I said, okay, me, I don't know him. And I don't know whether what you are saying is true. But I'm also a senior in this room and I also have equal rights. So let's let the boy come. If he comes and behaves in a way we don't like, we'll tell the house captain to remove him from the room. Then we agreed. So the boy came to the room. Very quiet. He doesn't talk to anybody. He only greets. When he enters, he just greets, good afternoon. Then he goes and enters into his corner. I was watching him to see anything. I wasn't seeing anything. Only that he doesn't talk to anybody. Just in his corner. But one night, I slept. I woke up, maybe to go and wee-wee or something, in the middle of the night. And I saw the boy. You see, because all of us in that room were Christians. Nobody had ever woken in the night to pray. This boy in the night, I saw him. He would be walking. When I saw him, I smiled. I said, this boy in this room means that no witches, no wizard. We can all sleep in this room in peace. No wizard. Oh, you don't think so? I said, if this is the reason why the seniors don't want this boy in this room, he will stay. I can sleep and snore. Because he will be chandelier. But do you think that if this boy is waking up every midnight and you shall be like, which will come to that room? It was supposed to come into that room. I said no. So in the morning, I told the boy, hey, the boy is staying. The boy, I said, I've seen him. He doesn't chant. He prays. He's not anything. He's staying in the room. Okay. I began to watch the boy. Everywhere I met the boy on campus, he was speaking in tongues. Everywhere. He'll be eating Gary, speaking in tongues. Have you seen Gary? When you are eating Gary? He came from class one afternoon. I was sitting here. My bed was this way. I was sitting. His bed was across from mine. And I was looking at him. He entered. He greeted. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. He sat down. He opened his box. As he was entering the room, he was speaking in tongues. You see him. He opened his box, took out the cup, took the spoon, first the gari into the cup, added sugar to it. He's making soakings. Then he will mix it up. There's a homogeneous mixture. So as he's testing the homogeneity of the mixture, you have to put it in your mouth, right? So you do that in your mouth. As the thing is in his mouth, he's chewing. Hey, I was sitting down here like this, saying, I was in love with the boy. So what Christian? I've never seen anybody like that. Anybody? He will be eating soakings. He'll be speaking in tongues. He'll be eating soakings. He's going to the bathroom speaking in tongues. The guy was speaking in tongues every moment of his life. You know what happened to me? I began to copy him. Yeah. I began to copy him. I said, this is a good thing for a Christian to do. A Christian to speak in tongues all the time. It's a good... Hey, you say he's a weird guy. Yes, the driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman. How is your Christianity? Does anything about you look like you're a madman? I'm not preaching anything well. Now I can't even continue the story. Jason, help me. Fast. Next one. Hitch up your chariot. Joram said, take chariot. Let's go and meet the guy as he's coming. Then they met him at the plot of the ground that belonged to Naboth. Jezreelite. Next verse. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked him, have you come in peace? How can there be peace? Jehu is asking, when you don't use God's word to do anything, how can there be peace? When you don't respect God's word, as long as there is idolatry and witchcraft in this town that your mother Jezebel has brought here, there can be no peace. Next verse. Joram turned about. Do you understand fled?
When he heard Jehu's answer, he knew that there's going to be a problem. So he turned his chariot around and began to run back to where he came from. And Jehu was after him. This is the action movie I'm talking to you about. He was chasing him. Continue. Then Jehu drew his bow. You know bow? Bow, arrow, and shot Joram between the shoulders. The arrow pierced his heart and he slumped down in it. Just one king dead. One more to go. He said to Bildad, pick him up and throw him on the field that belongs to Naboth. Go and throw him there. We're not even going to bury him. Go and throw him away over there. You remember how you and I were riding together and in behind, and Ahab and his father, he made they took the man's plot and they didn't pay him. Yes. You remember that? That same plot. No. Go and throw him away over there. Next verse. If you don't understand, you have to go in the Bible. Yesterday, I saw the blood of Naboth. Next verse. Let's continue. When Ahaziah, king number 2, saw what had happened, he fled up the road to Beth Hagan. Jehu chased him, shouting, kill him too. They wounded him in his chariot on the way to go near, and he escaped Megiddo, and he died there. Look, you know something? Go and read the rest. Otherwise, we'll be here for a long time. But what happened was that Jehu went and looked for every single child that Ahab had given birth to. He killed them all. Last show, he went to the temple of Baal where they were worshipping idols. And he told the people that he didn't know. He has also converted into a Baal worshipper. So they shouldn't be afraid of him. They should all come. Then he brought them all into the temple. Then he asked somebody to lock the gates. Nobody should come out. He killed all of them inside the temple. That is zeal. Because God told him, go and kill everybody. What God has said, that is what I will do. And I'm not stopping until I'm doing it. I think what I'm preaching, I don't know whether what I'm preaching is making sense or whatever. Yeah. He didn't stop. He killed. 2 Kings chapter 9, chapter 10. The story is there. You will see him. Jehu continued killing. He killed. Last person, Jezebel. When he got to the place there, he saw Jezebel was doing makeup. You see the word makeup in the Bible. Makeup is the use your makeup. So, did her eyelashes, whatever it is. Jehu was downstairs. Painted. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair on Shrompo, and she looked out the window. Jehu said, is there anybody on the Lord's side upstairs? Look at it. Who is on my side? Who? 2 or 3 eunuchs looked down at him. He said, throw her down. The eunuchs, am I telling you Bible story or I'm telling you Bible story? Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Next verse. Jehu went in and ate and drank. That's all. So take your dark curse, woman. That's it. What is God saying? This is what God is saying. That is what I would. That's why it will surprise me that you will enter secondary school and instead of people who don't know that much following you, because Jehu was coming with a chariot and there were people behind him. How come you go and go and follow this type of people? I'm overreacting. Look. Let's. I'll not do the second one. So, number 2, zeal for the Lord's house. I want to show you somebody. The third is okay. Let me give you the list. Those who had zeal for the word of God. I'll give you Jehu number 1. Write this one down. Number 2, a guy called Phinehas. Yes. Phinehas. I'll tell you, sorry. Phinehas. The Israelites were at Shittim. And God was annoyed with them that they had gone to be marrying Moabite women and worshipping their idols. So God, through Moses, gave an instruction that all the people who were worshipping idols, they should be killed. as the people were crying and repenting, because they had caught them and they had killed them. And another man entered into the camp with a Midianite woman. Phinehas was at the meeting. He saw the guy coming with a Midianite woman. So are you mad? He took a spear. He pushed the spear through the man, through the woman's stomach. It's in the Bible. You don't read the Bible. Because we are in already, God is annoyed with us. We are in a meeting. God says, you guys are worship idols. All those who have worship idols, catch them all, kill them, hang their heads. God says, you hang their heads. So the people have just been caught from their families. We are not fan of na ekukum no yana fan. So they have killed people. God, they were killing the people. While the discussion is going on, families are crying over their dead people. Then you are now coming into the meeting with a woman holding her waist and coming into a meeting with a Midianite woman. Yeah, it's like, baby, your baby, no baby, today it's going to be a well. You don't know what's going on. So Phinehas was in the meeting and he saw the guy come with the holding the woman's waist. He took a spear. He took a spear. You don't know what's going on. What is going on right now here? Through the man, through the stomach of the... So it's like chichinga. You know chichinga? Yeah, that's what he did. Human chichinga. That is zeal for the word of God. That's another example. I've written it down. Phinehas. Now, zeal for the house of God. Last one. Then we can close. Is it good? Okay. And the guy I want us to examine is a guy called Solomon. Yes, Solomon. Then we are closing. 2 Chronicles 2 from verse 1. What I'm preaching is nice to me. It's nice to me, I tell you. It's too nice. Solomon gave orders to build a temple for the name of the Lord. We are closing very, very soon. And a royal palace for himself. He hired 70,000 men as carriers and 80,000 as stone cutters. If you add it, you have 150,000. And 3,600 as four men over them. So 153,600 or 180,000, I don't know, something like that. Next verse. Yeah. Solomon sent a message. This is the part that kills me. Solomon sent a message to the king of Tyre called Hiram. Send me cedar logs as you did for my father David when you sent him cedar logs to build a palace for himself. Next verse. I'm closing, so you have to just sit down quite quietly and pay attention. The temple, this is it. The reason why I need you to have zeal for the house of God is the reason Solomon gave. Solomon said, I want to build a magnificent. He said, the temple I am going to build will be great. Because the person I am building the temple for is greater than all other gods. When I do church work, this is the mind that I have. That's the mind that I have. It is because of the person I am doing it for, that's why I am doing it that way. Jesse, what I'm saying is making sense to you. You see, my point, and I'm going to continue. My point is that you cannot be playing piano at a basic level in J Church. And after you have gone to secondary school and come and are in university, you are playing piano at a basic level. Meanwhile, Stoneboy's pianist, Stoneboy, the guy who plays piano, I don't know him, but I'm sure that he's a very good pianist. Stoneboy's pianist. Like if they put Stoneboy's pianist here and they put you here
and Stone Boy's pianist can play more complex chord, better music than you. You are failing the God who is greater than all other gods. Am I preaching the thing well? So me, I don't like church work that we do it anyhow. I don't like church work that we do it anyhow. I don't like if you are going to do it, if you will do church work, if you will be a dancing star, you must be among the best in the world. In the world. Yes. If you will do it in church, whatever it is, it must be among the best, because the person you are doing it for is God, greater than all other gods. That's why I say, shame on you. All of you, you do. There is nothing that you can do in that. I've been saying it. Have I not been saying it? That it is a shame. Look at, since I came here, microphone has been cutting. Go to a Stone Boy concert and see whether microphone will ever cut. No. No. No, 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 no. Reverend Chief, not do it. They do it well, oh. They start setting up for the concert from 2 days ago. They have brought a drone. They have used a drone to look at the area and map out the area to see where they will put the speakers. How they will arrange the speakers. How they will lay the cables. They start to set up. They will test and test and test and test and test. There will never be a microphone screeching at a Stone Boy concert. Why does it happen in church? Am I preaching to the right people? Or is it not the right for congregation? You are not zealously affected. You're not. You come and sing solo, you have forgotten some of the words. You have forgotten some of the words. If you don't project the words on the screen, you can't sing it. I'm not preaching well. This is my scripture. Me, Second Chronicles 2:5. It is my mindset for doing church work. That's how I do church work. I don't. There. Why should Stone Boy have a better concert than a church concert that we are doing? I went to a church some time. I went to go and preach on church. When I was sharing this thing, some shepherds said, but in the, you know, it's like Stone Boy, you know, they invest the money, but the church, no, they don't invest the money. Let's be serious. If you can even start by coming earlier, like, let's start from there. We should go and use money to go and buy expensive equipment so that what will happen. Service starts at 8. You're coming at 10 to do what? Hey, Yampon, next verse. I will appreciate you. Who is able to build a temple to him? He's saying that even that you have been given opportunity to build the temple for God. God, he lives in the heavens, the highest heavens. And that highest heavens is not big enough to contain him. So, what is a church that we are building? Are you hear what I'm telling you? Next verse. So, Solomon is talking to the king and asking him to send him the best equipment, the best materials to build the temple for God. Send me therefore, now after materials, he's asking for a man. That's where you come in. Send me a man who is skilled to work in gold and silver and bronze and iron and in purple, crimson and blue yarn and experienced in the art of engraving to work in Judah and, in other words, look through the whole country of Tyre and find me the best, the person who is the best in all of these things and send him to me. That's one skilled craftsman. This is who? This is Ishira. Yes. I finished preaching. From today, you will not do anything in this church anyhow. You will not do anything anyhow. You will not do it. Every assignment that you will be given in this church, every work you will be given in this church, your attitude towards it will be that I am doing it to the God who is greater than all other gods and deserves the very, very best. I will not give him something mediocre, something minimal, something useless. No. No. Look, it's not somebody who sends me to Tamaleo. I went there myself. I went there myself. And it's true. It's true. What you are saying is true. They didn't pay. You think that, remember, I said, well, I'm a lay pastor. I go to work. I work in a hospital. I will not even tell you the name. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anything. Many people don't even know I work. People don't think that I'm only a pastor. people don't know that I work. I went to KNUSD. I finished with a second class upper. My certificate is in my room. Me more. I have a university degree. Masters na me hundi amene be intina me nyebi. But I'm educated. Yes. And I have a work. I have a work. Today is Sunday. Tomorrow is Monday. I'll go to work. I'll wear work dress and go to work. I don't do pastor Monday to Friday. But you see, you don't know. The reason why you don't know is because I am doing the pastor and you make you think that all I do every day is pastor. I'm very serious. You are not serious about what you are doing. That's why, you see, I am believing God for a day when we come into a service. And these people will be sitting down by this table. When we take microphone, it works. When we do this, everything, when we say verse, it works. And there will be no problem. I'm waiting for the day that day will come. Every day, every church, beer will be kopia. And just say, sound and technical for. Sound and technical people. Solomon said, look, I've closed. The zeal I have for God's house, the kind of house I want to build for him, because of who he is, I will not build anything anyhow. I want the best materials and I want the best person. Will God find you also zealous? And you see, the key word in the whole sentence is the always. Because sometimes, after a conference like this, the zeal counts for 2 weeks. Yeah. And then it goes away again. As I'm seeing network. Nah, take off. But I pray for you. I'm closing. I pray for you. May God fill you. In this conference, I pray for an impartation of zeal. For his word, for his house. For his word, for his house. For his word, for his house. I think you should stand up. It's a good place to stand up. Stand up. For his word. I pray that I feel the presence of God is here. Yeah. An impartation of zeal. Every hand that is raised up. Raise up your hand everywhere. Yes, Lord. Yes. All over this place. All over this place. All over this place. An impartation of zeal. Just receive it right now. For his word. For his house. 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 From today, you will have a zeal for God's word that cannot be quenched. Nobody can do anything about it. You will love God's word. You will love God's word. You will be a servant who has deep love for God's word. You will hear preaching everywhere you hear it, and it stirs you up, and it does something to you. In the name of Jesus. Just begin to receive that zeal here right now. All over here. All over here. All over here. Zeal for his word. Zeal for his house. Zeal for his word. Zeal for his house. It will consume you. It will eat you up. In the name of Jesus. Begin to ask God for it. Zeal for your house, Lord. Zeal for your word, Lord.
Father, we thank you for the short time that we've had here in your presence. With our hands lifted up, we're asking the Lord, you will fill our hearts. Stir it up inside, Lord, a zeal, a passion for your word, a passion for your name, a passion for your house. I pray for every young person who is here with their hands lifted up, that without leaving anybody out, you will stir up inside us a zeal that cannot be quenched in the name of Jesus. And nobody here, there is nobody here that it will not be said that the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. The zeal for your word has consumed me. That we will be zealously affected always, always. If it is a good thing, if it is a good thing, if it is for a good purpose, we will be stirred up zealously. I pray for every child, every young person, everybody who is in this room right now, in the name of Jesus. Fan it into flame again, Lord. 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 The zeal, the passion, the love, the thirst, the hunger, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. That after this conference, the transformation will be visible. That everyone who knows us will see that something has happened to us this weekend. Something has happened to us that will last permanently in the mighty name of Jesus. No longer will we be after ungodly company, but we shall be like shining lights that attract people who follow us to come and see the zeal that we have
for your name.
We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and respect in Jesus' name. Every Christian will shout a loud amen over here. And add a shout to it. If you have been blessed, add a shout to it. Add a shout to it. Add a shout to it. Put your hands together for Jesus, and you may take your seats.
Wow.
And let us welcome Reverend Bismarck.
Wow. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yeah, I'm blown away. The Reverend William is my friend. I have enjoyed his preaching many times, but the fire this evening is another level. Yeah, it's on a different tangent. You see, the non-zealous ones are not clapping. Yeah. Yeah. His preaching has answered so many questions. Yeah. TK, Abi, you did. Yeah. Zadok. Yeah, the preaching. Jason. The preaching has responded to many. It's like he knew everything and he came to. Yeah. What a blessing. Joel. Yeah. What a blessing. If you are doing something, know that you are doing it for a God who is greater. Yeah. Yeah. If the secular musician's concerts, there is no cut in microphone. There is no loss of finding keys. And you come to church and you can't find a key. Even though you have been playing your keyboard since you were in J Church, you have moved to you have moved to SHS and moved to university, and you are still playing J Church. It means that the zeal is not there. Yeah. Reverend William, thank you so much for coming. No, thank you for coming. You know, our dates crashed. Our dates crashed. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, the whole saved, the whole saved Ghana. Only three saved pastors have conference. Only two saved pastors have conference. And now by the grace of God, I'm also part. and all of us had the same days for our conference. But Reverend William said, no, I have to be here. You know, he almost even canceled his to be here. But he went and flew and came all the way, drove all the way from town. This one, we were chatting since last night, 11 p.m., discussing. And as we speak now, another one is also having his at Macarius Cathedral, by the grace of God. Yeah, and you can see the zeal, the fire, the mediocre attitude we have towards the things of God. And you know, sometimes when you say some of these things, like Reverend William said, you think we are mad. Reverend Che was telling me, they think we don't have anything doing. You know, that is why you are passionate about church and the house of God. And like he said, sometimes people don't even know that he works. Because he's always on the move. You know, this whole year is booked. Strong Christian Conference, Cape Coast, Strong Christian Conference, Tamale, Kintampo too is coming. We'll be going to Kintampo and other places, all because of the zeal. It's not if when he goes, he's not paid though. In fact, he now takes his own money. He raises his own, he organizes his own people to go because of the children. Yeah. Because of the children. Everything we do is for the children. It's not for gain. It's not for clap. It's not for congratulatory messages or anything. It's just for the children. So that one day, when Jesus comes, he'll be happy with us. Because his passion, his heart is the children. Yeah. His heart is the children. And I believe that the parents here can see for themselves that it's always for the children. It has always been about the children. And God bless the parents. God bless. I always tell our children that we have the best parents in our church. In our church, we have the best parents. The best parents. Some are seated here yesterday. Some have been here since Friday. They bring the children. They sit and wait. Yeah, Saturday after Saturday, Sunday after Sunday, camp after camp, so that we would turn out well. And I'm so glad that Reverend William came. He didn't say that, he just finished tamale, he's tired, he has to read. He came all the way. The icing on the cake, he has come to sum up everything. Everything. Many of the things I even said, I didn't say them well. I realized I didn't say them well. He has come to really, added more fuel to the thing. Mr. Ojiri is here. Many of the things I didn't say it well. He has come to really added more fire to it. And I believe that after today, our attitude towards the word of God, the work of God, and I thank God by the grace of, we have children here like that. Yeah, I have an 11-year-old boy who comes to church 7 a.m. He is here. He comes to set up the whole church service. He is just 11 years. A boy, a little boy. Yeah. Asida, he's here. Where is he? Yeah. Where is he? You think he's old? His zeal. He and his sister, Devina, they are always the first to come to church. Then Nana Boateng and Amasewa and Sandra and... always first. They come to arrange the whole church. They come, Rev, this is not working. I said, that will come, Rev, this is not working. It's okay. I'm going to see the uncle in the main church. You come and do it. All the time. Yeah. And my big boys will come late. The university boys, you've come to preach. The university boys will come at 10. Yes. He drives, but he come late. He drives, but he come late. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that from today, our attitude is changing. The zeal is going to increase. Everything is changing. And our church is moving forward. And one day, it shall be said of us that as for these children, they are like Jehu. Yeah. Their zeal is like Jehu. Jehu heard God's instruction and he followed it to its logical conclusion. What a scripture. I believe that we are going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 2. We are going to read it and meditate upon it. And if you forget anything, don't forget that anything you do in the house of God, you are doing it for a God who is greater than all other gods. And because of that, your attitude towards it will be different. Let's put our hands together and appreciate the grace of God. Like before this conference started, you know, Bishop said that this team, this conference is not just for the young people, it's for all of us. It's for the great. And I believe that this message is for all of us. Even the adults here, we have received it. And we are going to walk with it and run with it. Amen. God bless you so much. Please, we are closing. Quickly run to the stage and instant dancing stars as we take our offering. And instant dancing stars, quickly run to the stage. Please take out your offering. If you have the envelopes we gave out, please make it ready as we take our offering. All right. Yes. I can see that the zeal has come. Yes, you are also coming. Your fire has come. You are coming to take the pulpit. No, let it be here. This one is not part. Charlie, hey, the fire. Remember William, I think the fire has come, pal. Hey. What a blessing. Yeah. So please take out your offering. Take out 50 CDs, 100 CDs, 20 CDs, 30, 40, 10 CDs. And please run to the front and sow it. Sow it to help the conference. Please bring out your Father. Bless everyone giving an offering this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe that there are parents here who can support the conference and sow a seed into this message on behalf of our children. Amen. It's recorded, so we'll share it Yeah, we'll share it. We'll put it on the page. Continue on listening and listening. Especially my university guys. Yes. Zadok or Zadok. Zadok the priest. God bless you, auntie. God bless you so much. God bless you. May your children become priests like Reverend William. God bless you. God bless you. Auntie Rita, God bless you for sending. God bless you. I must say, wow. Yeah. These are my workers. Safe Church workers. God bless you. And the big boys will come late. When they can, they'll come and redo everything that the small boys have done. You see James coming and walking like this. James. Wow, Reverend William, thank you so much. God bless you, Reverend William. Yeah, God bless you. The offering. TK, what is the offering? God bless you. God bless you. It's for all of us. What a blessing. God bless. We all give every offering you have. Please bring it. Every offering you have. Please bring it. Yeah. Early this year, all the big boys stopped coming for Saturday rehearsal. With an excuse that they are busy. It's true, eh? It's true. It's that we are not busy. We don't have anything doing. Whatever. Oh, please put it on for them, eh? Put it on for them. Let them dance. They are closing us. So Zita is still standing. If you have any offering, yes. No, leave him. It's a children's church, so just leave him. It's a children's church. Leave him. Ah, you carry him away. Yeah. Now the zeal, no Charlie, it has gone to a different level. So dance. We are closing with them, then we'll share the grace.
Love. But.
You see?
You took my sin.
Hallelujah. Oh, put your hands together.
Yes, my brothers and sisters.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, let's put our hands together for Ahensan. TMC Ahensan, they came all the way. God bless you so much. God bless you all for coming for our last session. I don't know how to end it, but we want to say a very big thank you to our daddy, Bishop Charles. Oh, I thought you would rise to your feet and give honor to whom honor is due. In fact, this conference took place because of him. I mean, there was a lot of fire. I mean, my job was even on the line. So if you don't do this conference, I'll sack you. And then he pushed. We changed many things. So many things went on. And by the grace of God, we've had our fair. Yesterday we were 500 plus. Yes, we're 500 plus by the grace of God. 500 plus. And today, too, I believe that the zealous ashes have counted today's attendance. They have counted. They are not giving estimates. So God bless you, every parent here. God bless you so much. We have the finest parents. Yeah, and I'm not just saying it because of today, but the kids can testify. I always tell them how good and how fine their parents are. Yeah, many churches don't have parents who drive their kids to church and wait for them to close and come for them. But it happens here all the time. And God bless you, parents, for your support, your continuous support. Yeah, and God bless all our saved teachers. All our saved teachers, God bless you. Bantama, all the branches, Asokwa, Auntie Fosti, Dr. Hazel, everybody, God bless you for your support. And all the saved shepherds and the children, God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you, the children. Some of the children, they are something else. God bless you. Nana Boateng, this morning when he got to church and I wasn't here, he called me. He said, Reverend, we cannot find that. God bless you. John Claude, he's quiet, but he is very effective. All of you, God bless all of you. Zita, Nanieta, everybody, God bless you. for working for God. Yeah, Jojo is raising his hand. Yes, Jojo, you are part. Yes, God, Jojo, God bless you. I see you, Jojo. God bless you and all of you. And I believe that next year is going to be greater and wilder in the name of Jesus. God bless all of you. God bless all our pastors here for your support. Reverend Forsen, encouragement. Reverend Che, everybody. God bless you, media and technical team. Hey! I believe that we have changed. Junior, all the excuses have vanished. The fire has burnt away all the excuses. And we want to say a big thank you to Reverend William for coming. For coming. You are not appreciating. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much. And thank you, Reverend EK. You couldn't come, but your encouragement. And I believe that he's here. Next year, Reverend EK will be here. Reverend William will be here by the grace of God. All the three of us will be here. It's going to be fireworks. God bless you all so much. Anybody I left out, it's not intentional. God bless you so much. And thank you for your support. God bless you. And as we close, let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the contribution, the participation, and the works of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. God bless and save our prophet. Amen. God bless you. See you on Saturday, rehearsal, and Sunday.